We are very lucky to live in an area where we are surrounded by not only the natural beauty and the arts, whether it's theater, whether it's music, whatever, whether it's visual art, whether it's audio, but also with just a plethora of just amazing people. And we're going to speak with one of those people right now, who is a longtime resident of our area, Sharon Chard. And she has a book that we were made aware of, I Am Not a Juvenile Delinquent, How Poetry Changed a Group of At-Risk Young Women. Sharon, first of all, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thanks so much for asking me to join you.
Well, let's talk a little bit, first of all, before we get to the book, a little bit about your transition into being a writer. I noticed that your parents were very, according to you, very responsible towards heading you in that direction.
Oh, you must have read my website. I said that was the only thing my parents, that I remember my parents agreed on, was that I should be a writer. I think I have loved words from the time I was able to speak. My mother says she read to me right out of the womb every day, and I always loved to write. In high school, I won Scholastic Writing Awards, and in college, I was an English major and majoring in pretty much in creative writing, and I wanted to go on to school and, you know, do more. I wanted to be a journalist. I had all kinds of dreams, but instead I got married to someone I had fallen in love with and had two children in rapid succession, became a school teacher for a short while, and then stayed home with my kids, and no writing happened for a long time. Except for brief spurts. I think I wrote stuff for the Lakeville Journal for a while, but it wasn't until after my son died that in 1987 when I knew that I had to do something to both assuage my grief and memorialize him. And I didn't realize that I was turning to writing as a way to transform my grief into something something other than the inchoate mess that was inside of me, which is what I think writing poems is all about, actually. And I went out to the Southwest to study with Natalie Goldberg. A friend told me about her and her wonderful teaching of writing practice. And I was hooked. It took me out of my head and put me into my gut in terms of writing, a way to write. I'd always written from my head. I never knew this way of writing, and it has been a godsend to me. I came back to Lakeville, and I was like, I want more of this, and I kept going back out there, but I guess I realized the only way to get more of it was to start women's writing groups in the area, which I've been doing for 30 years. And writing myself, excuse me, I'm primarily a poet. This is my first prose work, my memoir, and I began studying with various wonderful poets, and I have six published collections of poems, most of them having won some prizes, and I have had the BBC has done an hour-long radio drama of my work that was broadcast in 2012.
So then, as a writer, you are pretty expansive in what you delve into. Then, you know, you're not. Some people just write novels. Some people write fiction. Some people like nonfiction. It appears to me that your love of writing branches out in a lot of different areas.
That is right, and I'm glad you gave me an opportunity to talk about that, because I've been thinking about it lately. I don't embrace the ideal of a writer alone in her study, creating poems and putting them out in the world and trying to get published, although that's certainly part of what I've done. I enjoy getting published, and I have, but I really feel like I always have felt like I wanted to do outreach with it. I wanted to do more with it, which is I wanted to share what I have learned about writing process with others and get them to tell their stories. And I was a family therapist before I became a writer, and so I was used to getting people to tell their stories, and I loved that work. So to me, the expansiveness of reaching out to others, especially these young delinquent girls that I spent years working with, as well as a group from the Hotchkiss School, or many groups from the Hotchkiss School, that was a culmination maybe isn't the right word. I can't think of the right word right now. It was a wonderful, wonderful way for me to use my gift, if you want to call it that, for writing and share it with others and get them to see their gifts. And I've always been passionate about gender issues, being a woman of a certain age, coming through the women's movement and growing up in a traditional world. And, to have women help women achieve their voice has been the greatest goal of my professional life. So this is a fantastic way to do it, I found, by accident, of course.
So let's talk about the book. I Am Not a Juvenile Delinquent. And, of course, a subtitle, How Poetry Changed a Group of At-Risk Young Women. Before we go to how it changed the at-risk young women, it obviously changed you as well.
Yes, I really think the book is more about how it changed me. The girls, who knows? I mean, many of them I stay in touch with, but I make the point in the book that, if you do this kind of work, you can't hope for a product.
Yeah.
You just have to. It's like throwing seeds out onto the ground and hope. Maybe some of them will sprout, some of them won't. I think that many of the girls had a profoundly important experience voicing their stories and seeing that they were really poets. But I can't speak to how, if it really changed them. I mean, they tell me, there's some testaments in the book that I've included that they've written about how they will always be a writer and how the creative writing program that I started was meant more to them than they can say, and especially the girls from Hotchkiss, which was a surprise and a wonderful surprise. But no, it changed me because I went in to Touchstone, which is a facility in Litchfield, as I'm sure you know, that has now been there for many years, but it's just begun when I started in 1999. I said, can I volunteer doing this writing program, getting the girls to write poems? And the young director said, sure. She didn't seem to want my qualifications or anything like that. And I was a little stunned, and she said, come next week. And so I did, and the rest is history. I started, about the beginning of the book is all about how I started and was pretty anxious about it because I'd never done anything like this before, but quickly, I began to see that the reason I was so embraced was that I showed up. I just kept coming, and I guess a lot of people who volunteer start, and then they just don't come back anymore. And I was loaded with grief. My son had died, I think it was 7 years before that, and I simply couldn't shift my focus away from grief over losing him. And gradually, as I work with the girls, many of whom were black and brown, and was a world that I had never known, living in this white privileged community, I began to hear their stories, which were of such horror and pain and suffering and difficulty, and I slowly fell in love with them, and it moved me from my own grief into being involved with theirs and with their lives, and together we wrote our hearts out, and I really feel like they saved me in so many ways.
What's great about this book is we're talking with Sharon Chard. I'm not a juvenile delinquent. How Poetry Changed a Group of At-Risk Young Women. It's not just a book of poetry by the young women. You entail the whole story and wind it around the poems.
Yes. Oh, it's really, I would call it a memoir. Yeah. The publisher wanted to emphasize, I think, more the I'm not a juvenile delinquent aspect of it, because I thought that would be a really good title. I had another title in mind, but as often happens when you're bringing out a book, you have to defer to those who are publishing it. So that's why the title. But she also suggested that, you know, I was changing my label too as the mother of a dead son, and there's some truth to that for sure. It's really my story. I talk about growing up in a very traditional Catholic world and having a mentor myself who was a nun, but who guided me in ways that weren't very helpful because they were all about praying and not about finding my voice as a woman. And, you know, I talk about my son's experience at Hotchkiss. There's some of his writing in there. And my, you know, sessions with the girls, the part of the book's in three parts. The first part is the first year that I worked there and how I developed this program kind of by the seat of my pants. Creating it as I went along, desperate to try to find material that would relate to black and brown girls that I certainly didn't have, but I found it, and we began typing up their poems and putting them in booklets for them, and then we began to go out into the community and read, and we were invited to read at the Hotchkiss School, and that began a long collaboration with a group there. And and I reflect on my own experience all through the book. So I would call it a memoir that largely features my work over the 10 years I was a Touchstone.
Well, I will remind people that this book is available, and when we put this up on our on-demand page, people can go to robinhoodradio.com, click on on-demand, click on the interview segment, and this interview will be there, and there'll be links for you to purchase the book, an easy way, and find out more about it. We have about a minute or two left, so now that you sit here, the book is out. This is still forever going to be an active part of your life, correct?
What, writing?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh, yeah, yes. Yeah. I mean, as you called, I was just working on my latest blog post. I publisher suggested that I started a blog, and I never really wanted to do one, but I actually love doing it, and it's like writing essays every week or every 2 weeks, and I'm loving that part of it. I continue to write my poetry. I receive many fellowships to residencies, and I go every year, and I'm determined to go back to Wyoming, where I was at UCross when we had to come home because of the COVID next spring. And when I'm there, I can totally immerse myself in writing in a way that I can't when I'm at home. So I have another book of poems coming out next year from Blue Light Press, and many more to when I get a chance to sit down and put them into another book, and maybe the blog post will become a collection of essays. I'm going full steam ahead with writing. It's what I love to do more than anything in the world.
And what's the web address people can find your blog at?
www.sharonchard.com.
So SharonChard.com.
Just my name, Sharon Chard, will get you there, and all the blogs are posted, and they're also on my Facebook page, but my author page, but people won't necessarily have that information.
All right. Well, thank you for taking a few minutes and joining us, and much, much success in your writing in the future. And the book is an interesting read if people want to read it. It's a combination, as you said, as not only poetry, but the story behind how all this came about. Sharon, once again, thanks for taking a few minutes and joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much, Marshall. It's been fun. And I love talking about the book and the girls and having their voices out in the world. And I appreciate you giving them a voice this morning. Thanks.